All right, here's Chuck from the future again. This is definitely in the thickest part of the rain. The weather map kind of shows us actually beyond it, which is another inaccuracy that is a little difficult to kind of understand. This shows me beyond it, and I'm definitely in the thick of it, which makes me question this weather map to begin with. Well, hey, everybody, it's Chuck. Welcome back to the Cybertruck. I'm on a road trip. I'm heading down to Southern Florida, Vero Beach today. And it's Sunday morning, 8:45 in the morning. And we had a heck of a rain shower last night in Jacksonville. I use a rain gauge to kind of monitor how much rain we get each day when it falls for my gardens and different things I do. We had 4.5 inches of rain in the rain gauge this morning. Which is a lot of rain for those of you that don't understand volumes of rain in a short period of time. But anyway, I'm on my way down to Vero Beach, and I figured I'd try out this new weather map feature. Now, I've played with this. I'm so excited that Tesla is going in this direction. I've been an advocate for putting weather maps on our navigation overlay for many years for a lot of different reasons, and maybe we'll talk about a few of those here in the next few minutes. But as we kick off this conversation, I want to remind everybody that I'm kind of trying to shift formats a little bit. I'm still going to do all my FSD testing, but I'm also going to do these conversations in the either the Y or the Cybertruck about just different topics that I think are worth covering. I'm distributing them in a podcast format. If you're interested in subscribing to the podcast in audio-only format, just type in Chuck Cook into any of the podcast formats, Apple, Spotify, Pocket Cast, any of them, you should find it. You'll see my mugshot show up and just go ahead and subscribe there. But I'm still going to post this content on YouTube. I think it's very relevant to have the imagery, but I'll also try to talk you through some of the imagery if you are listening in an audio-only format. So as you may or may not be able to see based on the screen that I just showed you, the weather map shows precipitation on your route of flight. But it doesn't do it for a very long period of time. Because you know how the map doesn't always stay in the total route view or the north-south view. It kind of always wants to let you look at it and then it's going to recenter it. But if you tap on the screen, just like if you're looking for superchargers, on the very bottom right of that little menu bar where you can turn on the satellite, you can turn on traffic, you can turn on the superchargers, there's now a little cloud icon. If you tap on that little cloud icon, we get a real-time precipitation map. And I think that is what I want to talk about here today. And I am on my way south, and the precipitation looks like it's about 15, 20 minutes in front of us. And it looks like it's raining pretty heavy on this precipitation map. Now, I'm calling it a precipitation map rather than a radar because of the way that that Tesla has implemented this, which I think is a little unfortunate and needs a little bit of work. Listen, as a commercial pilot, I live and die by weather radar that's on my aircraft, forecast imagery. We have tools in our iPads that let us look up weather real time. We have all sorts of charts and cloud tops and icing levels and a whole lot of information we use in order to determine the safest route to fly. And of course, where it's raining is an important part of that tool set. Now down here at sea level, I'll call it, it's 60 degrees here today and raining. But as you go up in altitude in an airplane, the freezing level is at different altitudes depending on the weather fronts, right? Some days the freezing level can be at the ground, and that would be when you look at your weather and say, wow, it's freezing outside, it's 32 degrees or 0 degrees Celsius. But for an airplane, if they were flying in Florida right now, the freezing level could be somewhere around 5,000 feet. 6,000 feet. That is the temperature where water turns into ice, but it's up at altitude. So these clouds that are creating this rain has a freezing level where icing would happen on an aircraft, and you might either need to go around it or use some mitigation such as de-ice or anti-icing techniques for your aircraft. I go into that only to say there's a whole lot to weather and how you present it so that it's useful to the user. Okay, so I'm going to go through a couple things on this weather implementation that I wish Tesla had just talked to a pilot or maybe done a little bit more research on how to implement it. Because first of all, it's a great start, but it can be so much better. For those of you weather geeks out there, more than likely we've all kind of learned how the web and on internet weather is being distributed. You know, you go look up a weather location, typically you're centering on yourself or you're zooming a map to somewhere else so you can see the weather somewhere else. And generally you want to see the weather like it is right now. And most weather animations will actually go back a few hours and then come up to now, which is sort of like a historical view of weather radar. So you can kind of see the direction that these cells are moving, the direction that the frontal passage is making in front of you. And you know, in this weather radar display, we don't actually have that implementation. We don't know where the weather was because Tesla has decided to implement a future cast, which is a forecast which is based off of computer modeling and possibly even a human forecaster estimating where this weather will be in a certain amount of time. Now, while that does have some use cases and some validity, the problem with that is I don't know where the weather was and the actual directions it's going. I'm basing this completely off of your predictions and where it will be. And more importantly, I don't even have a way of stopping the animation and just showing the current real-time image. On this implementation down here, I do have a pause button, but what happens when you hit the pause button is right now you can see, if you're watching, I'm paused it at around 9:15 a.m., which is in about a half an hour from now. Uh-oh. And I just got speed limited due to poor road conditions ahead. Sorry, I was talking and of course I got that alert. So we got a poor road conditions alert on FSD right now. And it says the speed is limited and we're down to 70 miles an hour maximum. I'm okay with that. We're on Interstate 95 and that's actually the speed limit. Okay, let me come back to what we were talking about. The future cast in my mind is kind of nice, I guess, if I wanted to know where it's going to be in a certain amount of time, but that's not kind of the way I think weather is being displayed in most other weather maps and the way most people would probably want to use it, and specifically the way I don't want to use it as a pilot. I either want to see what it is right now, or I want to see a historical, maybe a 3-hour time lapse coming up to now, and then let my mind project where those weather cells are going to be. Don't give me a forecast that's based off of a computer model that may or may not even happen. I mean, how many times have you been told it's going to rain today and it didn't rain a drop, right? That's essentially what this is. It's a forecast. So if I were to give some recommendations on a quick implementation, if you hit the pause button, just go to now, and then let it constantly update. Don't take this screen away if I've selected it. I don't know why you're thinking that this is only relevant for a few minutes. If I'm the kind of person that wants this weather overlay, don't take it away. Right now, there's some sort of timeout that if I don't keep fiddling with it, the weather layer goes away. So I don't know, maybe you, Tesla, you can do some on your own thoughts about that. But in my mind, if you pause or stop the weather radar, it should go to right now, and then maybe every minute update the map, every 30 seconds, or whatever the right refresh rate is for that data layer that you're using. So that is my first kind of feedback. You know, and I've tried to use this play button to kind of pause it right on now, like right there. I caught it right in about 15 minutes from now. And you can see, if you're watching this, I'm just starting to go into the green precipitation. And right now, looking out my windscreen, I'm starting to be obscured and we already got the poor road conditions alert. And you can start to see my rearview camera is starting to get some droplets on it. All right, take over immediately. Camera visibility. Okay, so Chuck is driving now. That was not a strike or anything like that. We got a takeaway due to camera visibility. The wipers weren't going for some reason. Did you see that? Or maybe you could hear it, but I do have my steering wheel back up here and I can try to re-engage it, and it did allow me to re-engage it. So that was a red hands takeover immediately due to camera visibility, due to the precipitation on the windshield that the truck wasn't even attempting to wipe off. But now my wiper seems to be going a little bit faster, and maybe that won't happen. So that was a little startling, but okay, I'm gonna come back to this precipitation and the cameras. If I pull up all of my cameras, you can see the repeaters are fairly clean. The tailgate is fairly There's a lot of droplets on it, but I don't think FSD is going to have any issue looking out of the front of it. And if you look at the bumper camera right there, there's definitely some droplets on it. You can definitely see it's being obscured a little bit, but I also have this washer on the front bumper. And if I hold that, it does a quick wash and it changed where the droplets are. It's not really getting rid of the droplets because it would need almost air or some sort of continuous lens to keep the droplets off. I mean, I'm doing 70 miles an hour. You would think that bumper camera would be fairly clean just from the windstream, but apparently it is not. Okay, and if I come back to this weather map again, I'm gonna go ahead and I got two trucks here. I'm gonna go ahead and hit the blinker just to give him a little bit more room. I don't know why the truck didn't do that in that situation. He was kind of merging over. He has his own lane, but that was a scenario, especially with this visibility, that it would behoove the truck to not be behind these trucks with this all this extra spray. And as a driver, I like to kind of get around the trucks just to improve visibility, but because the speed is limited to 70 right now, it isn't doing it on its own. Okay, now, I'm gonna come back to another comment about this weather implementation that is unforgivable. And I say unforgivable because it's actually misleading with the way weather is presented just about everywhere else in the world. And that is the color schemes that are being used. Now granted, down here in Florida, this is actual rain, and it's got some light to moderate to heavy precipitation being mapped here. And the light is light green, the moderate is dark green, and the heavy precipitation is either yellow, red, or orange, depending on the precipitation levels. Now, up in New York right now, in Boston, this same front is going through, but it is actually below the freezing point, and it is snowing or sleeting or an ice mixture of both. Now, I'm just gonna, hopefully I can do this while I'm driving. I'm gonna zoom out on the map, and we're gonna go up here into New York. There's New York, and let me go even further north, up into Canada. And the weather map is working just fine. I don't have a route up there, but it's working just fine. But what you see here on the map is green. Green means rain, but it is not raining up here, it is snowing. All this precipitation, there are no colors other than green, light green, or yellow and red. So the map is implying that it's all rain. And if we're going to include a weather layer, let's at least talk about the type of precipitation that can be expected, especially in like the Mid-Atlantic or the boundary zone where it goes from rain to ice, sleet, and then snow. That is a very important piece of information about the type of precipitation, the road hazards that you could encounter. So that is unfortunately the bad part about this map is the precipitation colors are not relevant. And I don't know where they bought this layer from. I can't even imagine a professional weather agency using this map anywhere unless there was a forecaster on top of it that was combining this information with freezing level and precipitation. So Tesla, if you're listening to this podcast or watching this video, let's do a little bit of work on the colors first, and then maybe the future cast going away and going to a historical, or at least giving the option to have historical to now rather than the future cast, which you're kind of, you know, asking the forecaster or the computer models to do your work for you there. So those are just a few of the items that I wanted to talk about on the weather map that I thought were relevant. And while we were talking about it, we got a few kind of crazy alerts with takeovers and visibility. I will say the Model Y normally doesn't have that issue. I don't know why the auto wipers weren't doing their job earlier and we got the visibility takeover warning. It seems like this wiper is completely willing to wipe the windshield, you know, with a dry wipe on a clear day. So there's definitely something going on with that system right now where it's not doing it when it should and it is doing it when it shouldn't, and kind of the combination of that information. So the road hazard, I'm okay with the speed being limited due to the road conditions. That is a valid point, but I do want to kind of translate that road speed limitation in FSD to something that is concerning to me, is that a limit being treated as a limit is not always a good thing. So while you may have limited the speed to 70 miles an hour, you probably should have the availability of going to 72 to 74 to go around big trucks, right? Here on the interstate, you know, going 70 right next to a truck, you're right in that spray that limits your camber visibility. So give yourself a few more miles an hour, or even the opposite, slow down and get out of the way of that spray. You kind of got to treat these vehicles in poor road conditions as obscurations, because they make the visibility worse than it needs to be. Hopefully that makes sense. And I do also kind of want to just comment here. Now the rain has stopped just a little bit. I'll bring the weather radar back up and just kind of show you where we actually are in a little bit of a gap there on the map. We do have some heavy precipitation up ahead. All right, here's Chuck from the future again. This is definitely in the thickest part of the rain. The weather map kind of shows us actually beyond it, which is another inaccuracy that is a little difficult to kind of understand. This shows me beyond it, and I'm definitely in the thick of it, which makes me question this weather map to begin with. The speed has been slowed down all the way to 65. The traffic is definitely slowing down. The visibility is pretty poor. The windshield wipers are keeping the front pretty clean. It's changing lanes. You gotta finish that lane change, buddy. Yep, you gotta get over, All right, it's doing a pretty good job. But that was a really weird slow lane change in what was probably the worst obscuration so far. We're slowed down to about 54 miles an hour, and you can kind of see how my cameras are. There's the front, doing pretty good. That's probably a better view than my actual windscreen, in my opinion. And the tailgate in the rear, and of course up top on this rear view camera, it's doing pretty good staying clean too. So FSD is doing a good job staying engaged. I don't know that it's exactly lane centering. If you look here on this left repeater, it's definitely hugging that left lane a little bit. And that last lane change was a little bit slow. Like, see, I'm crossing the line almost with my left tires, and I'm not exactly sure why it's doing that. Maybe it's this car up here on the right and it's kind of giving a little bit more room, or maybe it's just a lane centering issue. Not sure. But FSD is staying engaged. It's not giving me any sort of hands. And I look at this car passing me on the left, and I'm still kind of hugging a little bit. He was a little concerned I was encroaching his lane. But yeah, I would say FSD is doing a good job. The traffic, it's not, I got it in standard mode, so it's not going over here in the left lane. I can see fine out the front. And the cameras, you know, I think the repeaters are doing a good job. I'm a little surprised at staying engaged, honestly. It does feel like we have quite a bit of wind from the right, and the wind might actually be blowing me a little bit too. That could be one of the reasons it's hugging the left side. Because, you know, there is a little bit of a bias, little bit of a braking here, cars are slowing down, and it's deciding to stay in this lane, which is great. It's not trying to pass them or anything like that. It's sort of taking the slowdown naturally rather than being in a hurry. I don't have any warnings right now saying that the poor visibility degradation that are staying up, but it's obvious it's acting in that behavior. If I were to see what my maximum speed is, it won't go above 65 with the scroll wheel right now. So it's definitely constraining itself from the normal limits. Okay, now I feel like we've kind of come out the backside of it a little bit. The visibility is getting a little bit better. So there it was. That was definitely the heaviest rain in this little scenario. And I just kind of want to show you, we got slowdowns ahead. Need to feel this. Yep, it's slowing down just fine. Maybe there was an accident, I'm not exactly sure. But if I were to pull up the weather, it shows us, you know, well through it, yet we just went through it. So the actual GPS accuracy of this map, I would say, was off. Back to the point that I would like a now cast where it is right now in the historical view. If you're gonna have a future cast, then okay, then make that an option somehow, but definitely don't make that the default. Okay, hopefully that was helpful from the thick of the rain. But the camera visibilities are actually doing okay. This Hanshow rear view camera that I've got installed, I absolutely love it. And it is the clearest and brightest of all of them. So the housing that I 3D printed and put on that thing is doing a great job using the Windstream to keep that camera lens clean. The tailgate camera is probably the worst. I can see droplets on the camera, There's no way to clean them. It just is wind is all you have. And if you click on the other cameras with the camera button, we'll just kind of see. You can definitely see clearly. You can see the wet roads and you can see the spray going by. But in heavy, heavy rain, these do get droplets. There's just no way around it with the current design that I'm aware of, unless we implement some sort of, I go as far as lasers. I know Tesla has a laser patent out there that could possibly be useful in some way, but some sort of washer mechanism, lens cleaning mechanism, or air pressure mechanism on the Cybertruck when you've got compressed air, or the other vehicles with an air suspension, just to blow your cameras clean. These are pretty big droplets down here on, you know, the rear view camera. And this is nothing compared to the camera cleaning issues that are going on up north, where all of this spray is combined with salt. And then that salt crystallizes, it evaporates, and then blocks the camera up. So anyway, those are my thoughts on the weather implementation on this holiday release kind of version when it came out. I'm glad it's there. I wish you'd have talked to a pilot or a weather geek before you implemented it, because it's obvious that whoever did this did it rather quick, or perhaps didn't think it all the way through, or maybe there's an update coming that'll make it all better. But in any case, that's my feedback on how it could be implemented a little bit smoother. Anyway, that's probably all I'm going to talk about today. The heavy precip is coming up. I'm going to, you know, continue to drive safely here and see if we have any more future camera visibility issues as we get into the heavy, heavy precip. Subscribe to the podcast if you're interested in getting this content fed to you on your phone. And then, of course, on YouTube, on X, if you're watching it there, thank you for your support. And we'll see you next time. Have a great day, everybody.